From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Well, Christmas is come and gone again, and I hope you had a merry and safe one. Me, I have two young granddaughters, one 4, the other almost 2, and so it was magical, of course. No one is more real than Santa Claus, and no one is more special than those two little girls. Every day with them is a day filled with smiles. It was way back in 1992 that Queen Elizabeth said it was her Annus Horribilis, what with her son Prince Andrew, now the perv member of the royal family, departing his life with Fergie, along with other misfortunes such as Princess Diana writing a tell-all book about her miserable life with Charles. In a couple of days, 2019 will morph into 2020, and good riddance is all I can say. The year has not been kind, beginning with me trying my best to recover from a stroke and then being diagnosed with a high grade of prostate cancer. I'll tell you a secret. I still have to wear Depends when I go out in public because I can't always make it to a bathroom in time when I suddenly have to take a leak. But it's better than pissing my pants. The next time we connect will be the 4th of January. So happy New Year to you and to yours. A little early, yes, but sincerely said. In fact, I hope 2020 will not only be the beginning of a new decade, but the beginning of something very special in your life. One of the avid listeners of this little corner of Outdoor Journal Radio is my high school quarterback, Brian McCullough, who sent out a very special email the other day to all the old gang he used to hang out with more than 50 years ago. So this is a shout out to Brian, with thanks. He wrote some very kind words, and I appreciate each and every one of them. So this is it then. I'll see you next year, same time, same station, and once again, Happy New Year. You deserve it. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, I'm Angelo Viola. He's Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis. And, of course, that was Mark Bonikoski. Bono, a little too much information, though. Holy mackerel.
Yes.
One thing I have to agree, though, he's absolutely right. 2019 was not kind in terms of health to him and to some of the other Outdoor Journal personnel. And now back to the 2019 New Year's Eve pre-recorded show. This segment we'll be interviewing Natural Resources Minister John Jakubowski and Minister of Tourism. Then it was Minister of Tourism Michael Tivolo, but he then went on to greater things. First of all, let's go back to Brad Schlorf because he starts getting into some really interesting tips for hunters who want to smoke weed before they go hunting. Interesting article in the local papers this past week about two hunters that were convicted of hunting while they were high. This is going to rear its ugly head here sooner or later. I knew it was, and it is. What can you tell us about it?
Well, the ability to use things that will affect your mind and or abilities in wrong circumstances is not a new thing. And, once in a while you hear the story about the drunk hunter, but this is a new one, so smoke a bunch of dope and then go hunting. It's just kind of not the brightest thing on earth, except maybe you just leave your gun in the vehicle, to which you probably drove impaired to get there too, and sit and eat chips or something instead of hurting anything.
I think it's going to get worse and worse because, of course, and the law has nothing to do with this. And I wanted to say because now, of course, it's legal and all that stuff, but it really, it's got nothing to do with the law. These are idiots who are going to be idiots regardless of what the law says.
Absolutely true. And it's too bad, but it is in a way kind of what was predicted around driving and that by the police and some government and health entities that when you legalize cannabis, then people will use it inappropriately. Well, sure they will. It just makes it easier for them and makes sort of validate stupid sometimes.
Speaking of dumb, another interesting article. Boy, it must have been a full moon last week when these articles came in. An article about an ice fisherman that was run over by his truck.
Not his truck. There was a follow-up that I just found today on that one. So these two guys decided to go out fishing overnight. They're in pop-up huts. in a lake north of Kingston, and one guy's got a new underwater camera. So that's the story, is that's what they want to try that out. And they kind of get, their huts get run over by a pickup truck, and it looks very obvious that the person in the pickup truck ran them over on purpose. But then the follow-up to the story is that after this exchange took place, the truck went back to the shore, and a couple of people got out of the truck. Then the truck took off. These couple of people actually come and help these guys get to the hospital. So there's a few more clues for the local constabulary to follow up on, that'd be the OPP, on who these guys were. And like, they left a part of the truck there. It's just crazy.
Oh, man. Sometimes you just got to shake your head, because if you try and analyze it, it makes things worse.
Well, that's got to be an awful deliberate thing. Like, you drive to a lake, drive out on the lake, and then hit the only two pop-up huts that are there.
So yeah, you know,
it wasn't the story. Who knows?
You know, it wasn't an accident. In the snowmobile world, a couple of nasty accidents, one with a fatality.
Another couple of fatalities, actually. And again, single person on a river and hitting something. The factors remain the same most of the time, driving way too fast. And then an incident of snowmobile rage. Guy being dealt with by the police and decides to ram his probably stolen snowmobile into one of the police cars. Didn't go good for him in the end, but, you know, sometimes when you smash up your conveyance, it's harder to get away.
A crazy, crazy time in the outdoors. I think it's something to do with the climate. I don't know.
Well, the sun is starting to shine here right now, and I think my golf clubs are beckoning me again.
Attaboy. Go get her, Bradley. We'll talk to you next Saturday, bud.
Good talking to you.
OPP Staff Sergeant, retired, that is, Bradley Schlorf, vacationing in the Texas area, the Gulf Coast, actually, reporting to us live.
Yes.
When's he back?
I'm not quite sure. Probably when the snow clears.
All right.
I would be.
We talked earlier on about an interesting enterprise taking place just north of Hamilton, where they're growing marijuana using waste byproducts from a tilapia farm.
That's very cool.
That is, wow, it's very cool for sure. And joining us now is a gentleman that is going to fill in all of the blanks, of which there are many. He is with Green Relief, a company that is licensed by Health Canada to grow cannabis. And joining us now is the CEO, Warren Bravo. Good morning, Warren. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. You got a lot of people scratching their heads this morning on Outdoor Journal, let me tell you. Because you're using something we love, and that is fish, to grow something that a lot of people love, and that is cannabis.
Yeah, it's certainly been an interesting ride getting here and trying to figure out how to use, and it's called aquaponics, how to use aquaponics to grow cannabis. It took us a couple of years to figure out, so by a lot of people who are way smarter than I am, coming out of the construction industry now into cannabis. So, yeah, it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, so your background is construction.
Correct.
And so, and somehow you took a left turn at some point. Tell us about that.
Well, it was my business partner, Steve LeBlanc, and myself. We were both coming out of the concrete construction world. He's in restoration, and I'm in new concrete construction. And we just saw an opportunity. We've been working together for years, and we're good friends. And we just thought we'd take the leap into a brand new industry, and you know, try to break some new ground using some sustainable methodology for growing growing cannabis, some sustainable agriculture. So,
just an opportunity. I understand the facility is underground. Is it totally underground?
Well, yeah, coming out of the concrete, again, coming out of the concrete world, we built this, it's called an earth sheltered building, and this is what I call it anyway. We built a precast concrete building and then basically buried the roof and sides in dirt, because we wanted a very controlled environment, so it didn't matter if it was plus 30 or minus 30 outside, every day would be the same inside the grow room. So we wanted that consistent, replicatable process for our products all the time, so we know when we'll be harvesting our products. And you know, 3 years from now, I can tell you what day I'm harvesting in grow room two. So it's that replicatable. It works really well.
So connect the dots for us here. How do you connect tilapia and the growth of it and this whole aquaponics thing with cannabis? Like, what, at what point, like, were you guys sitting around, you know, maybe recreating a little bit and say, hey, man, we need to grow some tilapia. Like, how does that work?
Well, it was my wife. So my wife, Lynn, is a landscape architect, and she's the tree hugger in the family. And we live as sustainably as we can. And it was her idea. Aquaponics was her brainchild back many years ago. And she started finding out more about it and taking some of the seminars that the federal government was putting on. And then Steve and I said, well, if we're going to do this, let's try to latch on to whatever we can from a sustainability aspect and try to work towards a zero carbon footprint over time. And this is what evolved. It's just something that nobody else has done. Lots of people have tried to grow cannabis aquaponically and failed. People told us we couldn't do it, and we just spent the time and resources and R&D and did the traveling and brought up all the brains in the aquaponic world to our facility, and took us, as I said, 2.5 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and here we are today, the only people in the world doing this.
And is tilapia, can it be any fish, or is tilapia in particular beneficial to the growth of marijuana?
Well, tilapia is a good fish to use because it's kind of tried and true in a farmed environment. So they're very hardy, disease-resistant fish, and you want to match the aquaculture that you're using to the root temperature of the plant you're growing. So, you know, some lettuces and vegetables, they'll like a cooler root temperature, so you can use some... you could try salmon, a trout, maybe some bass, some other fish. Some are more finicky than others in that farmed fish environment. But tilapia is really nice because it's got like a, we'll say, a 68 degree to 82 degree water temperature zone that they like to be in. And that kind of matches the root temperature of the cannabis plant. So it's kind of a natural tie-in. But, you know, we're going to evolve to, possibly some freshwater shrimp or prawn. And salmon and there's lots of other kinds of fish we can try. But right now, they say, as we're just kind of coming out of the gate, growing for about 3 years aquaponically now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. So we're working with what we know will work, and we'll evolve into other more saleable fish as time goes on. So it's all about R&D and experimenting. So we've got a lot of learning curve to do yet in that part.
Well, it sounds fascinating. I'm assuming there's information somewhere under the Green Relief logo?
Absolutely. Our website at greenrelief.ca, you can reach out to our client care team. It is a very fascinating, very clean, we're, biosecure and no pesticides, fertilizers, and that type of thing. So we're growing a very, very clean, natural, naturally grown product using fish, broken down, fish waste broken down microbially into NPK for the plants. So, you can reach out anytime. There's lots of information on our website and I'm always here. I never get to leave, unfortunately.
Now, if you can only reverse engineer that whole process and get the cannabis into the tilapia that you put on the market. Now, think about that. Hey, that gives a whole new meaning to consuming enjoying fish consumption.
The new edible. Absolutely.
Yes, that's definitely
somewhere to go. Lots of our cannabis doesn't taste like fish. That's kind of a common misnomer too out there. But it's a really nice clean product, and it's really being accepted by the marketplace. So
good,
we're excited to be here.
Good on you, buddy. Thanks for joining us and sharing that with us this morning, Warren Bravo from Green Relief, and that's greenrelief.ca for more information. Joining us, as promised, live and in person here at the Toronto Sportsman Show, the Honorable John Jakubowski, Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry, let's not forget the F, and along with his, we'll call him sidekick for the present time, Michael Tibolo, MPP in Vaughan, Woodbridge, and of course the Minister of Natural, or Tourism. Culture and sports. Let's get that right. You guys have got way too many names.
Well, we got a lot of responsibility here, Angelo.
Welcome to the program.
It's great to be here.
And more importantly, welcome to the Toronto Sportsman Show. And I know you guys are both big into what we're into, and that is the outdoors. What's your history with the Sportsman Show?
Angelo, what I see out here, I see that a lot of people have joined you at church today.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah.
The crowd is absolutely amazing. And for a lot of people, this is... Really, it is the, as Mark Bonikowski said in his prologue there, this really is the official, for a lot of people, the beginning of the spring fishing season for them, and then the official announcement that winter is about to end, even though this has been a long one. But I've actually never been at the Sportsman Show myself. Wow. Living up in Barry's Bay, when I was growing up, it would have been a long way to go. So this is actually my first time here, but I walked through the door, and I'm just amazed. And the work that goes into it, the number of exhibitors, and I'm so proud that Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry again has a booth here this year. And I'm so pleased and happy that my colleague, the Honorable Michael Tubolo, is with us here, because fishing and hunting is a big part of his ministry too.
Yeah, it's huge. Tourism. It's huge. Yeah, it's great to be here. I mean, as a kid growing up, I used to spend a lot of time fishing and the different rivers and the different lakes throughout the province. So this is the beginning of the season. It's like our Easter. It's the time to come out, see what's out there, what's new, what lures, what works, what can work, and also to see some of the places that we have in Ontario. It's phenomenal. I mean, you know, from a tourism standpoint, this is a huge part of who we are in the province of Ontario. We're known for amazing lakes and our rivers. We're known for the hunts that take place here. So for me to be here and to be here with you know, to be minister's sidekick today, I'm more than happy to be here and
I'm not share gonna some live that one down, am I?
Well, hey, listen, I like the Tubolo and Yak Tibbs and Yak. I like that. Yeah. I like that. But it maybe should be Yak and Tibbs, because he does have. That way too, though. Yeah. Eh? It sounds good.
But we'd have been both sidekicks if we were here on Thursday, because the premier was here on Thursday.
That's right.
And he was here for the opening day, and he was like an exhibit himself. Everybody was thronging around the premier, and it was great that he came down here.
Yeah.
It speaks about how important it is to our government as well.
Last year, I had an opportunity to walk around the show with Doug Ford before the election even. And I got to tell you, that guy is a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, the guy is a rock star. He blew my mind. He couldn't move an inch. People were all over him. And it was great to see, because he, too, has this outdoorsy kind of a feel to him, you know? Yeah.
He understands the people. Oh, he really does. Sure. He understands what people go through on a daily basis, and how important this is to average people out there who just see this as the ability to hunt and fish in Ontario is something that they just believe is absolutely necessary for them to have full enjoyment of life.
I mentioned earlier on in the previous segment that, you know, folks who are looking to immerse themselves in this thing that we take for granted, the outdoors. This is also a great place to come and talk to people who work in the outdoors.
Yeah.
Folks that you might be a little more familiar with, Michael, and that is the outfitters, the many outfitters that we have in this province. We have, I believe, 1,200 or 1,600 licensed outfitters and lodge owners in this province.
And they're incredible. I mean, the resources that they've put into their lodges and to the camps, you know, you really do get a feel for the outdoors. But at the same time, one of the things that I found is it's developed to the point that a lot of the comforts are there. So, you know, the time that you pass is really enjoyable.
Hey, you're listening to the pre-recorded New Year's Eve show, Outdoor Journal Radio, because we can. Board Journal left this one. Should there go away?